and body extract.
Some say the new $100 bills, kind of a facelift for Ben Franklin, looks like a euro and might as well be. Ooh, be careful what you wish for. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about email privacy and just how scared, be very, very scared, you should be when it comes to those conversations that you're having and personal information that is floated up there through your email. Trust me, I've been hacked in to twice. So whether you're hacked or being stalked or whatever it is, we're going to talk to an interesting guy who's got a company called Beams. And there's a way that Beams kind of, I don't want to say erase, but kind of tunnels the email so people can't lift your emails. So they encrypt it, really, is what they do. So it makes it rather impossible to get to. Let's put it this way. Probably you would be dead by the time anyone would be able to do that. That's the good news, because you think, well, I don't have anything out there, but you'd be surprised. Yahoo is currently fighting an old law that would allow the government up to 180 days to look at your emails, because they're demanding some emails from customers. Mm. So we'll dive into that at the tail end of the show. And I thought we were done with this, but it looks like a value-added tax could be coming your way and my way, too, in the very near future. And value-added tax is something that they do in Europe. The president originally was pretty adamant that there wasn't going to be this value-added tax, but now it's still apparently on the table. This is what the deal is. Paul Volcker has been talking to the president, has his ear, and recently he brought up the prospect of value-added tax, or VAT, that's the acronym. The Senate voted 85-13 last week for a non-binding sense of the Senate resolution that calls for such a tax, a massive tax increase, and this tax, the VAT, would pretty much guarantee it to kill people on fixed incomes. I mean, it'd be terribly crippling. I mean, that's the best I can tell you. It would be terribly crippling. So the White House has been asked about this since we're talking about financial reform. That's been the story of the day for the last couple of weeks. Now, it's been shot down every time it's been brought up. It's not being proposed. It's not being considered. No, 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 no. And now it seems as though, yes, in fact, don't believe what they're telling you when you turn on the nightly news and you see Robert Gibbs at the podium. European countries have a VAT, and that means it taxes the value that's added at every single stage of production of certain commodities. So, like, let me give you an example. As it was told to me, let's say the raw stuff, the products delivered to a mill, so the mill's production work and all the way up the line to the retailer would have that tax. So that would be passed on to us. So it would be a VAT, and it would affect the businesses. And more importantly, it would affect the businesses big time and then affect you, the consumer, on the other side of it, too. And what the president is saying is that his priority is to figure out how we can reduce wasteful spending so that we have a baseline of core services that we need and the government should provide, and then we decide how do we pay for that. So Paul Volcker is saying that these taxes might have to be raised to slow the deficit. Here we go, that question we've all been pondering. So this value-added tax, that's what the idea is. In the past, you wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. And the Republicans, I'm sure, are all about not having this VAT. So we keep hearing about, don't worry about taxes. We're not, you know, if you don't make over 250, all this stuff. What you see in Europe is what you get. And if you've ever been to Europe and on certain goods, you know that it's outrageous. And this will cripple lots and lots of people. And expect price hikes for everything. I mean, expect it for everything. The VAT goes in and you are a lower to middle income person, forget it. It's basically what I call the tax the hell out of everything. Everything you use, that's exactly what will happen. And the people in Europe who are struggling are drowning in it. I mean, drowning in it. But the deficit is the perfect thing to say, well, this is what we got to do. I mean, this is not the option I wanted, but we have to be tougher. We have to toughen up about this. And I think this is reason to be very, very upset, America. No VAT, as far as I'm concerned, a disastrous jest to too many and to too many businesses. That's why ultimately you'll see it and will be passed on. I think it, I'm saying even you guys, I think you have to learn how to sew. Better get out there, get that tape measure out and start to make your own clothes. Start to think of ways you can, remember when your great grandmother would like can the tomatoes and can relish and can everything? Start canning. How about those gardens? Better have those gardens ready. I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to make light of it because I'm scared to death of ultimately how this is going to end up. All right, I have to talk about this at the top because I haven't done this in some of the previous hours if you happen to be checked in on America Tonight. But a radical Muslim group is warning the creators of South Park that they could face some violent retribution for depicting the Prophet Muhammad in a bear suit during last week's episode. Now, they make fun of everyone, and nothing's out of bounds in South Park if you've ever seen it. This website, revolutionmuslim.com, has been taken down, but Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who have been around for a long time at this very, very successful animated program, feel as though, at least people around them feel as though they should be concerned, incredibly concerned. If you remember the posting that showed a picture of Theo van Gogh, a Dutch filmmaker, he was shot and stabbed to death in Amsterdam in 2004. And why was he stabbed to death? Because a crazy nutball, a fanatic, was upset by his film about Muslim women. And the film was written by a Muslim woman who rejected the Prophet Muhammad as a guide for morality. And that was a big, big, big story. You may have, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you might stretch your mind and remember that there was a story done on 60 Minutes years ago about this. And recently, Al Amariki also wrote about this, hey, this is not a threat, but a warning of the reality of what will happen to them. So that they could end up like Theo van Gogh. And Comedy Central's New York office is being bombarded by all kinds of calls about it. And I think it's something to keep an eye on. It's, you know, not to take anything lightly, obviously, these days. But especially if you've seen South Park, you know what I'm talking about. And they definitely hit a raw nerve. I'm probably going to hit a few raw nerves, and we're going to dive into what's happening with illegal immigration around the bend right here on America Tonight.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Here's the latest on immigration. It's come back around again, and I say it's come back around again when it comes to the conversation on the Hill. Initially, it was thought, okay, climate is now where we're going, climate control. It's gone through the House. Let's see what happens in the Senate, cap and trade, you know what I'm talking about. And instead, and that will be discussed, but after financial reform, or in the midst of financial reform, the Senate anyway, what they're going to tackle next is let's reopen immigration. Arizona passes, or is going, is shortly passing, because the governor just has to sign it, but passes a law that we've been talking about now for a couple of days where the police, if they suspect somebody is illegally in the country, they can pull them over in the course of whatever they're doing during the day. If they pull them over for something else, whatever. In other words, they can nab them. They can, just like a Border Patrol agent almost. And the ACLU is up in arms. There are a lot of other Latino groups that think this is racially profiling and disgusting and the worst. And for sure there's going to be a legal showdown over it. But because Arizona is now shining such a broad spotlight, I think, on immigration, and because it was tabled initially, the Democrats have decided that in the face of what they're facing in the midterm elections, you know, immigration for some of the spots that we're talking about wouldn't be a bad thing to go after again. Maybe we need to really push on this discussion and this debate because we know it's going to carry on for a while. In fact, there's no way that we'll see any kind of legislation be enacted by the end of the year. I would be stunned if that happened. So it's, I mean, it's, let's face it, I mean, this is as dividing as they come, just like healthcare, maybe even worse. If you remember to a couple of years ago, some of the protests and whatnot about immigration, some of the problems. And, you know, it's funny, some of the rallies initially said pro-immigration, pro-illegal. I saw a sign in Dallas, pro-illegal immigration. What? Pro-illegal immigration. I don't think you mean to really be holding that sign. So, regardless, this is what the scoop is. Is there going to be a pathway to citizenship? And will tens of thousands of people line up to jump on that pathway to citizenship? Because remember, that was initially discussed. People would come out of the shadows. It'd be tougher at the border security points. And then the people who wanted to become citizens would get to cut in line, so to speak, because they've already been here and they're working. So they'd be temporary workers, and they'd be trying to pay back monies. And then they could take the citizenship test and all that sort of stuff, and they could theoretically become legal. And there's, to be fair, there are definitely people that would snap up that opportunity in a heartbeat for various reasons. I mean, it's not all ugly, evil, terrible illegals in this country. But there are enough gang members, drug cartel members, a nasty element coming in from Mexico and other countries funneling in along that Mexican-U.S. border, especially Arizona, terrible for that, terrible in New Mexico in parts, and even in Texas there are problems that are big. Look at El Paso and Juarez, couldn't be worse, it's like a shooting gallery down there. I don't think very many tourists actually cross over the Zaragoza Bridge anymore. So it'll be interesting to hear the discussion, but I think it's going to be pretty much the same of what we have heard in the past. The idea is there would be this amnesty. So forget it. You're here. We're cool with that. Just come forward. Let us know who you are, where you are, how long you've been here. Let's figure out what the bill is, in other words. And I know, like I said, there are people that will line up to do that. But how many people will line up to do that versus, I'm making great money, I'm sending it back. Now, why do I want to pay 10 grand? What? Are you kidding me? Pay that off? I don't want that. And that's what I think you probably see. And it would take a Herculean effort, to say the least, to have immigration reform in any sense of the word, even if it's the priority, to have this passed. And what's interesting is the president thought that the whole energy climate legislation should be the big thing. That's it. That's what, once the financial reform debate is done, let's go there. But it's not going to be climate control. It's, even if you go to both of them, it's going to, their focus is going to be on immigration, and some old wounds are going to open up. Get ready in the next couple of weeks when you flip on the tube, if you still watch the nightly news, or watch the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever, get ready to see a lot of those protests around the nation, because they'll bubble back up again. And I think one of the hot spots, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, is going to be Arizona again. I was in Las Vegas the last time it happened, and the rallies started to get really hot. And it was angry in Vegas because there are plenty of people that are in Vegas illegally, and there are plenty of Hispanic groups that don't like the idea of, you know, anti-illegal immigration. So it got pretty ugly off the strip and around the strip in some of the, I'll call them marches, I guess. They're kind of marches. It's similar to what we're seeing with some of these other rallies, organized in some senses and in some spots, and just people gathering in other spots. But we're going to see that. There's no question. Just for giggles, I know all of you know this, but all 435 House seats are up for grabs, baby. And you've got about 36, it is 36, of 100 Senate seats as well. So it's obvious. Whoever you play to, depending on the crowd, the whims of whoever it is that is electing these people, that's pretty much the way they're going to go. That's pretty much how you dance around the illegal immigration issue. But It's a rough dance, and it's a very tough issue. So there's not anything that's going to be, in my opinion, there's not anything that's going to be on the books. And it's, and many people have called this show in the past. For people who have that swelling in the chest, that pride that they came here with the clothes on their back and the hope and the dream and the prayer that it could happen, and they came here legally, it's like a kick in the face for the people that are under the wire. Because they're under the wire, and they've been here for however long they've been here. And like I said, not all, because there are some good people caught in this ugly in-between world. But they're people that have become legal, that came here legally, that got sponsored, whatever the case, whatever the scenario was. And they feel very insulted, and there are plenty of people on the Hispanic side of things that are saying that they don't agree with the grouping of all Latinos are furious over categorizing and profiling in Arizona and talking about illegal immigration as being a Mexican problem. That's not true. Or a Hispanic problem. That's not true, because I know I was married to a Cuban American man whose parents, at one point divorced now, but whose parents came to the country through, again, legal channels and killed themselves to make it in the United States, learn the language and all that sort of stuff, and couldn't be more proud to be in America, especially escaping the communist regime of Fidel Castro. And getting to know them and to know other people, I saw a different side of the debate, and the side was that the sacrifices that were made and the wait, the 7 years wait, the coming back and forth, the having the visa, then leaving, the whole thing that so many people have done, it isn't fair. I mean, it isn't fair to completely cut, I think. But I don't think, I totally believe with the 10 grand, if that's the number they come up with, you're not going to have as many people as you would think that are going to line up and raise their hand and say, oh, you know, count me, I want to be in. There will be some, but there'll be plenty that won't take that path to amnesty or path to citizenship or whatever you want to call it. I think now they say path to citizenship. All right, on the flip side, the scariness of the world today and who could be stalking you and checking out your emails and why you need to protect yourself. That's next on America Tonight.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Steve Shank, eFoods Direct. We have stopped taking orders for the Buy 3, Get 1 Free program and have started production. Congratulations. Your choice to participate in the production of your food supply by pre-ordering will prove very wise. Shipments will begin the end of March and will be sent in the order that they were received. Now something fun. It's springtime. We all know that garden seeds aren't really a food supply, but they're a great supplement to your food reserve if you have the time and place to garden. Here's the plan. When you add a one-month superfood spring pack to your food storage, we'll send you that garden of non-hybrid seeds absolutely free. Order now while the free seeds last. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Get a real supply of food to eat while you wait for your supplemental garden to grow. Call 800-409-5633, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb K was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now. Get out of debt and have more money. Get Herb K's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 800-822-1291. That's 800-822-1291. 800-822-1291.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Welcome back, America. Kate Delaney hanging out with you and all those nooks and crannies that we always talk about. I've been hacked. Yeah. Three dreaded words when it comes to email. It's happened to me twice. Trust me, I know it's a nightmare. I wouldn't have believed it. Themes director Bob Hedden, his company is seeking to end our misery. Bob, first off, explain what Beams does. Explain before we dive into this thing with emails. What is it? Give us more on Beams and what you do to protect the information, to protect the emails.
Well, the idea behind Beams is that the Internet was developed to do something quite different than it's being used for today. It was originally developed because we, at the time, were in fear of an attack from a foreign country like Russia. And wisely, they said, we can't put all our eggs in one basket, so we need a distributed system so they can't bomb a single place and take everything out. That was called ARPANET, and that was the forerunner of all this, and it began in the 60s. And interestingly enough, it came out of academia. That's where it was kind of hatched as an idea. And that mindset permeated the creation, where professors in a collegiate environment often exchanged information with nothing more secure than, you may remember, the wooden cubby holes that they had out in the hallway where they would slip papers in and they were going to give them from one person to another. And in a sense, that metaphor carried through when they created email. No one was worried in those days about someone hacking into your email, because it would be as loathsome as someone stealing something out of your mailbox in the hallway, or as when we were kids growing up, no one would dare go near somebody else's mailbox and open it up. But now we live in a world where a single click connects someone in China, in Korea, in Iran, in Pakistan, to anyone in anywhere else in the world, America, South America, Canada, doesn't really matter. So we started from a design that said everything's wide open, and we don't need anything to fear, and then we said, oh, here's the Internet, and it's commercial, and everybody can use it, and everybody is using it, but the basic fundamental mechanisms that were used in the design were never, ever meant to be secure. So what happens is today, I use that mechanism, for example, to send a message. Maybe it's an innocent message. I'm just going to say I'm going to meet you at the company picnic on Friday. Well, two things come out of that. First of all, if I can aggregate enough of that, I know who's going to be at the company picnic. More importantly, I also know who's not going to be at home. And that's where the insidious part of this happens, because there is no protection to an email. It is quite literally, as you probably know by now the hard way, like writing a message on a billboard and expecting nobody else to read it. Well, in point of fact, anybody who's interested could read it. So what we did with Beams was we said there's nothing inherently wrong with the wires that connect the world together, but there's something wrong with the idea of having platforms where information sits. In other words, if electrons are in motion going through a wire, that's not a problem. It's when they stop. When they stop, it gives me a target that if I'm a hacker or I'm an evil person, that I can go attack. Or if I know that a message is going to go from point A to point B, all I need to do is use what's called a packet sniffer and grab that message. If it's unencrypted, I can read it instantly. If it's encrypted and it's stored someplace, I can make a copy of it and crack it at my leisure. So that's the core of what we wanted to do. Was we wanted to do away with the whole idea of storing information. We wanted to treat it much like, interestingly enough, a letter. If I send a letter from me to you, I write it on a piece of paper, I seal it inside of an envelope, I give it to the postman, he takes it to the mail postal service, like local to me. They don't make a copy and send on my letter where the next person makes a copy and sends it on, the next person makes a copy. No, my letter actually goes from my home all the way to your home, and nobody's got a copy along the way. But email's just completely different. Any place along the line, a digital copy is readily available.
Wow, so you think of this, and you think of this and what you're talking about, you could essentially erase what's out there so you don't get caught in that web, especially since we have the government, and we've talked about this a ton, you have the government that now can get an email under 180 days old if the email has already been read by me, and they can take it. They can take the emails. That's what Yahoo is up in arms. They're challenging the government's position and actually defying a court order to turn over some of their customers' emails to the feds. So if it's not available, then they can't get it, right?
But it is available because if you've ever owned a computer, which I'm sure you've owned many, you know that making a copy is a single click, and you can make a copy from one place to another. Mail servers, as prudent operators, back up every night. They make copies. So if they have your email on it, they've made a copy. So to say that the copy is going to disappear is silly. With hard drives, and I'm not saying you're silly, I'm saying the concept for us to believe that the data is going to disappear is wrong. Everybody can make copies. It's become very easy. If you go to any of your local stores, you can find terabyte drives on sale for $150. In my younger days, a 30 meg drive was big, to not today. By the way, as long ago as 2007, there was an article by Brian Wolf of ABC News said it would be difficult to say whose email, text messages, or internet phone calls the government is monitoring at any given time. But according to a former AT&T employee, the government has warrantless access to a great deal of the internet traffic should they care to take a peek. That's merely AT&T. An ISP, Internet Service Provider, in a small town, America, or as large as Google's Gmail, Yahoo, AOL, they're not going to defy any subpoenas from the federal government. If they've got a copy, they're going to turn it over.
Yeah, and it's remarkable what's happening there. I mean, I hope that Yahoo continues to refuse. And, I mean, this is a massive debate. It's one that we've been talking about with attorneys and other people on the show. So we go back to what you do again, and I can see why lawyers and doctors I mentioned and others with sensitive information are using beams. Is that as you explained
Thank
what
you
it
for
does,
listening to GCN.
That's what ultimately that's the whole idea, right? That's what we're trying to do to keep you safe.
There's two components of it. Number one, we want it to be extremely encrypted on both sides so that in the event that someone breaks into your system, whether it's your home computer, your office computer, your laptop, if they get a hold of it, if they get into it, that the data inside that system is so heavily encrypted that to get into it will take more lifetime than it's worth. And then when we send it across the Internet, we add four more layers of security on top of it, because that's its most vulnerable place. You know, if it's in my castle and I need to get it to your castle, we know your castle's got a moat and bricks and all that other good stuff, and I know my castle's got that, but it's when I put it on the horse and rider to take it from point A to point B that it's vulnerable, especially if I know what road there's going on. So what we did first was we said we have to massively encrypt it, digitally sign it. We use public key, private key cryptography, which is essentially unbreakable. And the idea was never send it the same way twice either. So the connection is made at the split second that you're going to send it, and it's like a beam of light traveling. As it goes from point A to point B, it's going across the Internet, but it's not stopping anywhere. It's going from my computer to yours, or from a doctor's to a patient, or from a lawyer's to a client, or from one lover to another. It's never stopped anyplace. And since I don't know when they're going to send it, it becomes very, very hard to intercept it.
So I would imagine, I mean, this is, how long has Beams been around? How long, you developed this technology? You developed the technology how long ago, and how did this all come together?
In 1997, I realized that medical information was at the Stone Age. Literally, if you wanted to get medical records from one point to another, the best way to do it, no kidding, was make a copy, physically carry it from point A to point B. It's supposedly gotten much better. Today, they burn a CD and you carry it from point A to point B. There are some extremely naive people who actually email it. But once again, now you've sent your medical records on a billboard. And, you know, they're very easy to steal. And also, by the way, they're worth money. Because if I have medical information on you, if I'm an employer, I know whether or not to keep you on my insurance policy or even give you a job at all. Because if I see that your cholesterol is elevated, your blood pressure is elevated, your hemoglobin A1C is up, it's a real good idea for me to get rid of you before you have that heart attack that you're going to have that's going to cost me a minimum of $50,000.
Mm.
So I was concerned there had to be a better way to move information between offices. In 2004, I got sick. I was a software developer that was working in medical, got sick in 2004 and found out that the technology was absolutely terrible. If I needed to get my records from one office to another, I literally was back to hand carrying them. That was the best way to assure they'd be there. And what I did was I redoubled my efforts to come up with a really, really easy to use solution that looked identical to email.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
What I did was I redoubled my efforts to come up with a really, really easy to use solution that looked identical to email, that felt identical to email, but that instead of being email was using this very, very heavily encrypted technology that all happened in the background. So I'm writing my normal letter to, whether it's to my doctor, my lawyer, my financial advisor, a friend. I'm doing everything just like it's email, but when I click send, it's being heavily, heavily, heavily encrypted so that only myself and the person on the other side, or persons if I'm sending it to more than one, can actually read it. In point of fact, public key, private key cryptography works on a simple premise that you have double verification. Number one, you know that no one else could send it in my name because of the coding that's in it, this, a password that's about 4,096 characters long. It means it's a little hard to fake that one. And in addition to you knowing it only could have come from me, I know only you can open it. So when that message is sent, I've got lots and lots of confidence that it's not ever going to be broken in my lifetime. Now, whether it's a simple message about, as I said, meeting somebody at a picnic, or much more severe, that you're getting back results from a test, or your attorney's planning a strategy, or you're discussing a new product for your business, you want to make sure that nobody else that you don't want to get it can get it. I have nothing against social networks like Facebook. I just think that what you say in a public place is public. What you say in a private place is private. And people right now are getting confused about what the difference is. They think, for example, that if they say something on Facebook and they have some passwords that, well, gee, it must be safe. No, actually, if you read Facebook's terms of service, they have that information, mm-hmm. and they can do whatever with it they want. Mm-hmm. And they are not in any way, shape, or form obligated to protect it. Let's extrapolate and say, 2 years from now, somebody comes to the owner of Facebook and says, hey, listen, I'll give you $20 billion. By the way, they've already been offered 11, so 20 is not out of the question.
Not out of it, yeah.
I'll give you $20 billion for Facebook. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody offers me $20 billion, I'm probably semi-interested. The moment I sell, all my agreements probably are going to be challenged by the buyer, and at minimum, that information is going to get loose. It's kind of like HIPAA, the law that the patient thinks protects
sure.
their information. It does and it doesn't. Your pharmaceutical information is available at the pharmacy, and they can exchange it with anybody they want.
Right, and people don't realize that. They don't realize where all the information goes, absolutely. So that's the idea.
There was a program developed recently by MIT as an experiment that aggregates data from totally disparate points on the Internet. There is no pattern per se. It's just an AI, artificial intelligence algorithm that can literally go out and from fragments of information that you've given here, there, and everywhere can come back and predict things like your social security number and birth date with astonishing accuracy.
Ooh.
Yeah, now, you need to understand that this is in the lab today, but recently from the lab came something that is much worse than Frankenstein. Google released to the public something called, you won't believe this, My Search History. And what you want to do is go shock yourself by looking at it, because we're not talking about your recent browser activity. Everybody knows you can delete that.
Right.
But what we're talking about is Google has tracked every site you've ever visited. So in my case, I went back a half a decade to when I was fighting cancer, and I was looking up meds. You know, obviously, dire situation. You do that. Now, it's nice to know they kept a copy of all my searches. Now, if I have a bank or an employer who's a little bit overly curious, they might be interested in my health. Okay? Now, Google's very nice. They do allow you to turn my search history off. Now, that means you won't see it again. They solved the problem kind of like it does when you were a little kid and you put your hands over your eyes to make the bad things go away.
Sure.
Bad things were still there, but you cover your eyes so you didn't see them. And that's what's happening when you turn off your My Search History. You don't see it, but it's still out there. They still have a copy of it. That's not even counting your emails that you've parked at Gmail or Yahoo or AOL. The ISPs are not supposed to look, and I imagine they don't, but their algorithms do. That's how ads are able to interestingly target you. You know, I mean, you
sure.
never told anybody you had a problem, but all of a sudden you're starting to see ads for it.
And that's scary.
I don't think that Google's in business to go broke.
No, that's scary too, by the way. You're scaring me even more as we continue to talk here, because you realize that everybody listening can relate to this, and everybody listening, I guarantee what you just said, if you go to My Search History, if you Google that, I guarantee every single person will realize that there's things out there about them that they had no idea were out in the ether.
Well, you know, the thing is, we all do innocent stuff, but the innocent things that we do, in the eyes of someone else who has a vendetta or who is jealous, and goodness knows we all create relationships in life that are not as perfect as we'd like them to be, somebody can, what I refer to as go creeping, and the next thing you know, they have evidence that none of it is really in any way horrible. But when taken in aggregate, begins to look strange. You know, we've all seen Perry Mason, and we've all seen them stack up all the evidence. Any one of those things wouldn't have convicted them. But it's the preponderance of evidence that convicts them. And mind you, more than a few innocent people have been convicted. And in this case, it's really nefarious, because the people who are doing the aggregating don't have to tell you. They just have to turn the information over to somebody else. Somebody who's interested. I mean, the most chilling day for me as a patient was the day that Walmart said they wanted to get into the medical records business. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on, Walmart? I mean, I could understand Microsoft, because Microsoft brought out a thing called Health Vault, where they were
sure.
going to aggregate your medical records. And then
yeah.
Google had one that they were going to do.
Yeah.
But Walmart? That didn't make any sense to me. It still doesn't, by the way, but you need to think about why big companies are so interested in this information. The medical stuff is what's obvious. What's not so obvious is everything else you're doing socially. I mean, I love my wife dearly. I think she's fantastic, okay? And I have said things to her that are in private that, you know, if taken out of context, somebody would say, you said what to your wife?
Yeah,
you know? Well,
exactly.
The thing is, some of those things, I have two kids, so clearly not all of them were, hey, how you doing? Doing well today? You know, those two kids came from someplace.
Right.
Here's the interesting thing. Everything that you generate in a message or that you put on in the internet in any way, shape, or form is indelible. It's like ink. It's not going anywhere. So imagine now my grandkids reading and just having a good time reading about how Bob and Maxine were doing all this good stuff. And did you see this part? I mean, when I was a kid, I read Peyton Place and I read the good parts. And I thought that was fantastic. But I don't want my grandkids reading the good parts, okay?
Right, I agree.
And
yet
people
that's going
to happen to every one of us.
Because
we're putting the good parts in storage places where anybody can get them.
Yeah. Wow, crazy.
And
what?
Again,
how so enlightening.
Yeah.
Exactly. Boy, that's
and
scary.
And that's why Beams was developed to say, at least if you're using Beams, everything is heavily, heavily encrypted. You don't have to think about it. It just happens automatically. If I need to take a document like a will or a deed or a bank statement, I just need to drag it, drop it right into our software. It's automatically encrypted. It happens in the background. You don't even see it happen. You can access your system. We use various ways to get in, one of which is an image recognition technology, because we decided that trying to remember passwords wasn't terribly easy, but I would argue that even in a crowd of 100 people, you could pick out your family and friends fairly quickly. So if three of them were mixed in with another 88, you'd spot them pretty quickly.
That's right.
Which is good, because you know the three that you might find. I know the three that I might find, but I guarantee you anybody staying next to us would have absolutely no idea who we were picking.
Right.
So that's the kind of thinking that has gone into it. Encrypt everything automatically so you don't have to think about it. It's just a new world, so we're handling it a new way.
Yeah, absolutely.
The idea of closing the door was good back when, you know, we all were serfs in merry old England or Germany or India. It's close the door, nobody will bother us. Okay, well, it doesn't work that way anymore. Now, if you're smart, you do a little bit more than just close the door. You might even want to flip the lock.
Yeah, I want to get the lock, definitely. Hey, we'll tell everyone, Bob, thanks. They can go to keybeam.com. They even got a 45-day free trial. Can't beat that with a stick. Bob, thanks. This has been an interesting conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.